I don't know if you've ever heard the term, the devil made me do it. Why people do what they do. The devil made me do it. I hear that all the time. Or the opposite side. If God is God, how come bad things happen? You've probably heard both of these, right? You've probably been with someone and say, well, you're a Christian. These things aren't supposed to happen to you because you believe in God. And yet, it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. If I were to say to you, hey, everybody that wants Jesus and a happy life, come on up to the altar right now. And I'll promise you that you'll never have another problem in your life. Well, I'd be preaching something other than what's in this book. That's just not true. In fact, everywhere I read in this book, it rains on the just, it rains on the unjust. Jesus said, you're going to have troubles in this world, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So it's not that we're not going to go through it. So this morning I want to talk about temptation. Because the word temptation has two faces. And that's what the sermon title is, the two faces. The first one is temptation, the bad stuff that most of us think about. Tempted to sin. The other side of it that most of us aren't familiar with is this. The word is used called testing. It is the same root word. Testing our faith by God who tests us and tempting our faith, which is the devil trying to destroy us. They have the same root, but they have different results. And someone says, well, how do I know if it's God doing this in my life and allowing this to happen? Or how do I know if it's the devil trying to do this in my life and allowing this to happen? Well, that's actually pretty simple. One, if it's temptation and it's the devil, the end result is to bring you down and tear your life apart. If it's God and He's testing your faith, then it's to build you up and to bring you into righteousness. You say, wait a minute, that's kind of confusing. Well, follow me in this. All of us talk about temptation. Every one of us is tempted. In fact, my guess is in the last 24 hours, and this is a pretty good guess, every single one of you have been tempted. Now, a lot of you are thinking, well, I wasn't tempted to do something bad. Now, using the word that James talks about, maybe your faith was tested by God in the last 24 hours. Either way, these things are happening in our lives, and James refers to them. And he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. He uses the same word in that testing that we'll find in different passages where the devil's trying to destroy us. So it's really not necessarily that you're being tempted, and it's really not necessarily that you're being tested that I want to talk about today. What I want to talk about is what are you going to do right here with what's happening in your life? Whoever's fault it is, know this. You have a choice in that situation, whether you're going to give in to the sin or you're going to resist the sin and you're going to give in to righteousness. Either you're going to end up worse for it or you're going to end up better for it. That's what's important this morning. I think about there was a movie that came out years ago. I think it was called A Bug's Life. I may have it wrong. There's so many of those kids shows. But in the backyard of this house, there's one of those bug zappers. And with a little blue fluorescent thing that attracts the bugs. And these two bugs are flying, and this one just is heading straight for it. And his buddy says, don't go into the light. You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen that? And right next, his buddy goes, don't go into the light. And then he's flying. He goes, I can't help it. It's so beautiful. And he gets fried, right? Here it is. James is talking about Jesus teaches us to pray this way. He said, I want you to pray like this every day. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Now, wait a minute. The Lord doesn't lead us into temptation. James says right here in verse 12, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. Can He be testing you? Absolutely. He can be testing your faith by allowing things to happen in your life. But when you see that light, you see that shiny object, whatever, you're standing there, you're having to react one way or the other. It's still up to you whether you give in to the temptation and sin or whether you overcome and the testing and you end up in righteousness. Either way, it's up to you what you want to do. So I want to take you on a little fishing trip this morning. and the kids are in here this morning, I think they'll enjoy going fishing. All right? I'm not much of a fisherman. Most of you know that. But the bug's life tells me that the devil is trying to tempt us and destroy our lives. And I know this, that God is trying to get us to quit doing this stuff and to overcome so we can live a righteous life. And how do we do that? How do you live a righteous life when you're being tempted? Some of you probably feel like you're the only person being tempted. The first thing is this. The Bible tells us we need to watch out for shiny lures. So let's go fishing. You know what shiny lures are, don't you? Those little spinny things and to catch the fish's attention. I'm not much of a fisherman. Listen, when I go fishing, I don't know what to put on my line, okay? I know there's some fishermen out here. I know I've heard you guys talk, and some of you are very good anglers. Me, I'm the kind of guy that I've got a fishing pole in my garage. I don't have a tackle box, okay? I've got a line, but it's all knotted up, and I don't think I could get it out. All right, that's the kind of fisherman I am. So if I'm going out, I'm just going to just start hooking things on and throw them out there. Somebody's going to walk up and say this, "What are you fishing for?" And I'm going to say, "Fish." And they're going to say, "Well, what do you got on there?" And I'm going to say, "Fish stuff." "What kind of lure do you have?" And I said, "That one that was given to, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't know what bass or carp or crappie or walleye or bluegill or sturgeon. I don't know what they eat. I couldn't tell you." It amazes me that these guys go out there and they know exactly what to do. They know exactly how to make that thing dance in the water and make it look real. Me? Get it. That's it. Line in, line out. Catch a fish. If you don't, that's why I don't like fishing. It's not worth it standing around staring at water all day. The devil knows exactly what lure to come at you with. Every one of you, are you ready for this? Every one of you in this room today, you know, I don't know, but you know the lure. You know your lure, and you know what? The devil knows your lure. He does. No wonder why Jesus said, "Pray this, Lord." He didn't say, "Lead us not into temptation." That's what your English Bible says. It says, "Lord, keep me from this temptation, from giving in." That's what the Greek says. It says, "Keep me from giving into this." Lord, he's not leading me into it. Don't lead me into it. What are you doing, God? You're throwing me into this? No. It says, "Keep me out of this and deliver me from that evil." But you know what? The devil knows. And I know this morning you're sitting there and you can already tell yourself, "I know exactly what the devil's going to hit me with this week." Because he hit me with it last week. You know what it is. Now, many of you are thinking, "Well, is that getting drunk? Is that doing drugs? Is that evil thoughts? Is that pornography? Is that what is it?" Folks, you're just getting into the one side of the lures. There's a whole bunch of other lures. The other lures are this. "I'm not walking by faith because I can't see God. I'm afraid today. I'm walking in fear. I'm walking in doubt." Listen, he's casting out. He knows that you're a person that struggles with fear. And he plays on that. He tosses it out to you every day. And he just reels it ever. And you just start looking at that. And you just want to bite into it. You know. Are you ready for this? Your shiny objects are not my shiny objects. All right? Let me say that again. Your shiny objects are not the person next to you necessarily the same shiny objects. We all have different lures. I mean, we live in a world full of lures. You know how they catch monkeys? Or at least they used to. They would take one of these glass, big jug things with a small opening, just enough for a monkey to get his hand in there, and they'd put a shiny object in it. This would be secured. The monkey would come along, get its hand through there, grab the object, and the hunters in the jungles would come along, see the monkey, and the monkey's look at him, sees the predator coming, the man, and that monkey will not let that shiny object go. And once it makes a fist, it can't get its paws out of that jug. And the hunter comes along and just kind of wraps him right on the head. Just, that's it. That's the end of his life. All because he couldn't let go of that shiny object. And what's that thing worth? Absolutely nothing. But it's worth his life. Listen, folks, the devil's figured out sin very well. And he knows how to throw that lure out there. And you know what's amazing to me? So many people reach out and they grab onto those things. One of my shiny objects is Best Buy. I love Best Buy. You been in the Best Buy lately? for me, I walk in, don't go into the light. I can't help it. The back of the room has 60-inch plasmas. It's so beautiful. And on my way, I find other ones, like Guitar Hero and video games and cell phones and iPods. And I'm going, what a neat place. And my wife's like, don't go in there. I can't help it. It's a shiny object, and people get into debt over those shiny objects. For some of you, it might be Hollywood. Hollywood has a lot of shiny objects, and people are grabbing a hold of all of Hollywood's lifestyle. And people say, don't give in to this kind of stuff. The philosophy and the teaching's coming out of there. I can't help it. It was such a good movie. It made me cry. It was a walk I had to remember. Don't go on the walk. And the devil, he just keeps casting these lures out there. For some of you, you get on the internet and it's just a lure and you start surfing the internet and it's like, don't do it. I can't help it. It's so beautiful. Some of you, it might be money. I don't know what it is, but we reach in and the devil just puts those shiny objects out there in front of us. It's interesting. James talks about this. James, if you'll look at your Bible, and I shared this with this congregation before, I have to revisit this when it says in verse 14 in James 1, each one is tempted. How are we tempted? Right here. When by his own evil desires. Do you know what gets you tempted? Shiny objects by your own evil desire. Oh, and so you want to do this. And then it says, each one by his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after he desires conceived, it gives birth to sin. And birth to sin grows up and is death. Now watch this. I said we're going fishing. So I'm going to go fishing right now. I'm living in my life. And they understood this. The fishermen, Peter and John and James and all these guys, they're a fishing community. They understand what James is writing. When he says, each one by his own evil desires, the word picture in the Greek, when I read this and studied it, was like a trout who's sitting underneath a rock. And if you've ever been trout fishing, you know just what I'm talking about. And it's underneath there and it's hiding and nobody gets to it. And an angler casts a lure out into the water. Now that trout has a choice. It's sitting under the rock. You're understanding what I'm saying, right? We're under the rock, Jesus Christ. Why would we leave the shelter of my Savior? Except, it's so pretty. And it says, each one by his own evil desire has to go up and just take a bite of it. We just have to get out there. And so the devil knows your lure, and he casts it out there. And he wants to get you out from under the umbrella of God's protection and His blessing in your life. And no wonder why Jesus said, pray this way. Lord, don't let me go into that temptation, but deliver me from evil. He taught you to pray that way. He's saying, don't get out there. And it says, each one by his own evil desire, they kind of get out there. And they put it in their pocket. They got a hold of it. They grab it, and they've got it. And then it says, and then they're dragged away. You know, you got them on the line. Well, that's what you're thinking as an angler. They got them. And it says, dragged away. That's not what the Greek says. It's not like you got hooked. You got hooked, all right. But the Greek is more definitive in its translation. It speaks of a predator who stands behind a shelter, hiding behind a tree or something, and speaks of the devil, the evil that stands there. It says, once you've grabbed onto the bait, it says he jumps out and you are dragged away. It means to pounce upon and to grab. It actually, I'm going to say this, it actually says is raped. That is the term in your Greek. They are grabbed a hold of and just ripped apart, and their life is violated violently, without permission. I didn't want this to happen into my life, but the minute I grabbed onto that lure, I have now given permission. I have now put myself out there. I got to watch out because the devil comes in, and the Bible says, when that happens, and you don't let go of that and confess your sins and get back under the rock of Jesus Christ, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all my unrighteousness and get back where I'm supposed to be with Him. It says, I can be dragged away and absolutely forcefully taken over. Whew. And after that happens, it gives birth to death. It grows up, and becomes death. It's the only place in the Bible where this word is translated this way, anywhere in the Bible. And it's the word aborted. The devil wants to absolutely destroy and kill your salvation. He wants to destroy. Jesus said it in John 10. He said, the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy you. But I've come that you might have life. Get under the rock in your life. Amen? Watch out for shiny objects. Why in the world, it just amazes me, why would we grab onto something that's not going to do us any good, but can destroy everything in our lives? Watch out for shiny objects. Lord, get me out of this. Get me out of this. Get me away from that temptation and deliver me in my life. That's a powerful word there that James gives us. And then secondly, what you feed. Oh, let me go back to this. We'll come back to it. What you feed is what will grow. You ever notice that? Yeah, if you've ever had fish, my daughter brought fish home from a children's event one day, and they were just itty-bitty fish, and we keep feeding them, and they keep getting bigger. What you feed grows. Trust me. You guys got teenagers? What you feed grows, right? And it grows, and it grows, and it keeps growing. You feed it, it grows. Listen, it's the same way in our lives. What we feed in our lives. If we feed into the temptation, I give into the temptation, I feed this. Can I tell you? You're going to have more in your life. And you're going to need more in your life. I saw guys in drugs. I see people in alcohol this way. I see people in pornography. It starts in simple ways. And it just slowly, slowly, bigger, bigger, huge. I can't control it. I'm no longer in control of my life. How did I get here just giving into a little temptation? Because what you feed will grow. When my kids were smaller and they got angry, I always tell them, don't get angry. Don't give into it. Not that you don't get angry, but don't give into it. And they'd say, why? I said, because you're going to feed the angry monster. He lives inside. They go, what? What lives in us? Yeah, that'll scare you. You got a monster inside of you called the anger monster. If you feed the anger monster, he's just going to get bigger. But if you don't feed him, he'll die. You say, what kind of theology is that? That's kid theology 101. The reason I say that, because that's Galatian theology chapter 5. Listen to what the book of Galatians says. In chapter 5, verse 16, it says, so I say to you, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Does that make sense? What you feed will grow. I always teach students in leadership. I'm going to be taking another group this summer. One of the things I teach is habit track. We need to develop good habits in our lives. Sin is a bad habit. More sin becomes a complete habit. Let me walk you through it this way. Every one of us is born in original sin. Every one of us has a bent to sin when we're born. Until you come to a place with Jesus Christ, it's just easy to sin. It's easy to lie. It's easy to do things for myself. So here's what happens. As a sinner, as a person not in Christ, I go into a situation, temptation comes, I step right into it. I don't even think about it. It just happens. It's real easy to do. I go along, I come to another situation, there's temptation, I just step right on into sin. It's not a big deal. It's pretty easy to do. You come along some point in your life, and you come to what I call a crisis moment. You come to a spiritual crisis where Jesus Christ becomes the Lord of your life. Say, Lord, I'm changing my life. I'm born again. I'm awake. And all of a sudden, something comes alive in us. The Bible says the Spirit of God becomes alive. John 3:3. I am born again. Guess what happens now? I come along, that same temptation comes along and says, hey, psst, psst, yeah, come on. Where before, I didn't even have to think about it. I would just do it. You know what's happening now? And everyone in this room understands what I'm about to say. And if you do, I want you to say amen after I say it. What happens now that you've had this change of heart is you come to that sin and it goes, come here. And you look at it and you go, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Come on. I'm not going to do that. Come here. No. Come here. No. I'm not going to do that anymore. I've changed. No. And then you feel something tugging you this way. And you have this conflict. And in this conflict, you wrestle and you struggle. And all of a sudden, you make a good decision. And you go, I'm going this way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say amen. And you've come to that moment, and all of a sudden you go, what just happened to me? I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do this. But even though I want to do this, I'm feeling this tug wanting to take me here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen? Okay. Now watch what happens. Now you have this major change in your life. Now you step into this a couple days later, and all of a sudden, here comes that temptation. And you have this struggle. And you have this struggle, and you struggle with it. And like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? You still have the choice. And you turn and you make a righteous decision. Wow, that felt pretty good. And you go along again. Here comes that temptation again. You kind of have a struggle, kind of. And you make a righteous decision. All right. You go along, a couple weeks go by, the temptation comes again, you make the right choice, and boom, you do that. It comes along, guess what? That thing shows up, you don't have a struggle anymore. You just simply do the right thing because you've created a habit in your life of righteousness. That's a good place to live. Now, what I didn't have to think about doing right or wrong, I just did wrong. Now I come to this moment, now I'm going to create a habit. They say it takes, I don't know, I've heard so many different numbers. I've heard 7 days, I've heard 28 days to create a habit. Let's go with 28 days because I don't know if I can create a good habit in 7 days. I have a lot of people that try to create habits. I'm going to read the Bible, Pastor. I want to know the Word of God. So they start reading the Bible, and you know what happens? They get to, in the beginning, God created. Do you know that's more popular than John 3:16? More people know in the beginning God created than they do, for God so loved the world. You know why? Because they'll pick up a Bible and start at page 1. And they'll ask people, what's verse 2? I don't know. Well, why? Because you got to hear, struggle, I'm going to read my Bible. All right, I did it. I'm going to read my, I didn't do it. You know what? Pretty soon, you're not doing it. Creating habits in your life. I meet people all the time where they smoke, where they drink, whether they have control of their tongue, whether they're struggling with their thought life. And I say, you know what you need to do? You need to starve the source. Quit feeding the sin and start feeding the righteousness. And guess what? What you feed will grow. You'll get that. I never thought I would ever quit doing drugs. But 28 years ago, when I got saved, I would go along and I didn't even have to think about doing wrong. Somebody say, hey, you want to do that? Okay. Hey, you want to do this? Okay. Hey, you ever try this? Nope. Okay. I mean, that's where I lived in my life. I, at 19, got saved. I came to this brand new wheelhouse. Jesus Christ absolutely turned my life around. All of a sudden, I had a buddy, Freddie Frank. I said, hey, you want to get high? And I went, I don't think I'm supposed to. He said, oh, I'm a Christian. It's okay. I went, oh, okay. Went home and felt horrible. Something inside said, wrong, eat, don't do that anymore. And I went, where'd that come from? The Holy Spirit. And I didn't just struggle in these moments. I was thrashed. Somebody just picked me up and just started pounding me on the ground. I said, God, I can't quit. A year and a half goes by, and I thought, I couldn't ever quit this stuff. I got to a place one day, and God just said, You kept coming here and coming here and coming here and coming here. Finally, you're getting victory. You're getting victory. You're getting victory. You got victory. You got victory. Guess what? You're not even getting tempted anymore. I've had people tempt me with drugs before. I've been down on mission trips to Jamaica. Kids will run right up to our mission van and go, hey, got some weed. You want some? They don't care if you're a preacher. They don't care if you're a missionary. Because some of the preachers and missionary buy it. Not this preacher. I look at it, I'm like, that doesn't even tempt me. You have got to be kidding me. That's the lure in my life? That's not happening. Listen, the devil knows what your lure is. Now, do I have lures in my life? Yeah, everyone does. If you're alive and breathing, you got temptations. But I say, don't give in to shiny objects and don't feed what's going to grow here. Feed what's going to grow over here in your life. Let it grow. You know what happens, though? Man, we get to the point. When I got married, I went fishing. My wife's from Michigan. That's probably how I ended up in Michigan. We came back. We were living in Oklahoma. And she says, we're getting married back in my home state. And I said, yes, dear. Of course we are. And we did. She's from here. And I said, okay, that sounds great. We got to their church over in Lakeview, over by Big Rapids, and I'd never been over there in my life. And And they said, okay, you and all the guys, we're going to put you up in a cabin up in a place called Canadian Lakes. Never been there. Makes no sense to me. We wind up in all these trees, all these lakes, and all these cabins. And I was so lost going in there. They left us a car and said, okay, we'll see you at the wedding tomorrow at such and such a time. And I thought to myself, I can't find my way out of anything. These roads, they need to go north and south. I need directions like go 2 miles south, go 2 miles west, go 1 mile south. That's what I need. Not Michigan. You go down here to Farmer Brown's and you go around the fire hydrant, go down the hill at Ruby, make your way up by the dead cow. And I don't need that stuff in my life. It's got to be straight. So we're up there at this cabin. The next day, there's fishing poles there. They say, go fishing if you want. Man, me and all my groomsmen, we went out to go fishing. We get out there. We dug up a bunch of worms. And we went out to this lake. And we cast out as soon as those worms hit. Boom. We had bluegill. I mean, they were just biting everywhere. We get this huge stringer. We ran out of worms. I said, what else we got? And the guys open up the tackle box. They go, well, we got this squiggly red thing. We got this yellow fuzzy and other thing. I don't know what they're called, but we just started putting them on. We started throwing these things out there. And the fish were grabbing those. And then I said, hey, one of the guys got a great idea and just threw a hook out in the water. Boom! We had fish. We said, we don't need anything. Just throw it out there. We had so many fish. We had a string. I don't know what I was going to do. I was going to come walking into the church going, hi, honey. We let them all go. We got a stringer, and then we let them all go. Man, I don't let them all go. Okay. I was late for my wedding. I couldn't find my way out of there. We fished a little too long. Be here for the photos. Oops. Okay. But you know what I found out about those fish? Those fish were so hungry, they didn't care what was thrown in front of them. They were willing to eat absolutely anything. I have found that in the church world, it's amazing to me that we are biting absolutely everything that the world has and the devil is throwing our way. Folks, stop taking the bait. We got to let it go. I mean, when you look at the church and people start talking about that the church is having the same divorce rate as the world, the church is having the same struggles in pornography. I heard 8 out of 10 men struggle in the church. That was just a minister's survey, not the people. When you talk about the anger and the backbiting and the divisiveness and all the things, man, we're just biting. The devil doesn't even have to get creative anymore. We just simply go, oh, it's so beautiful. We just walk into sin. Folks, the Lord woke me up at 2:30 this morning. I hadn't been to bed yet. I just laid there, my heart pounding. And I said, God, what do you want to do with this? He says, people have got to stop sinning. They've got to quit biting the bait, get under the rock, and stay with God. These spinners aren't so creative. They're not anything new since the beginning of time. Haven't we learned our lesson? Our children are hurting from divorce. Our world is hurting from hatred. There's discord, starvation. Just peace is lost. Can we not find the rock again and get under it? And God wouldn't let me sleep last night. And I said, Lord, what do we do with this? He says, it's not all just the devil, by the way. He says, there are things I'm doing in people's lives, and they're blaming the devil for it, and I'm trying to test them so that they could get a little bit stronger. But everybody's dropping the weights before they make one curl. I believe that God is testing our faith and trying to make us better Christians. And sometimes we look and go, well, it's bad, so it must be from the devil. No, it may not be bad to destroy our spirits. It just may be a tough situation, and our faith is being stretched. And what do? Well, it's got to be the devil. Or we just simply give in and we bite. And I just sat up last night thinking, how in the world? It is so easy. Why do I keep doing it? Create good habits in our lives. Man, James writes this. He's known as camel knees. You know what that means? He was on his knees so often that they just became so callous. They were huge like camels. And he's writing these words to us 2,000 years later saying, come on, hang on. The last thing is we got to look for the exit signs. Swim away. We got to start looking for exit signs, folks. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'll close with this. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, but God is faithful. Listen, it says every one of you have been tempted in the exact same way. Every one of us have the same there's nothing new. But then it says, but God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can handle. So many of us are like, oh, I just bought in. Why did I do that again? That wasn't even a hard temptation. He says, come on. Get a little moxie here. Come on, dig in a little bit. At least give the devil a fight. It's so easy. Folks, we just to walk in that righteousness, to give that life that we want to have and say, God, I'm going to walk in that, means we got to just look for the exit sign. In other words, when the devil starts bringing temptation into my life, I got to look around because God says He's faithful. He will provide a way out. Oh, there's the exit. So, folks, I'm out of here. There's my exit. Have a good day. Oh, wait. We're worried about what others might think if I walk out. We're worried about what might happen. Listen, what's going to happen if you stay into a situation that's not a good situation is a whole lot worse than you walking out and not worrying about what other people think. You need to get out of the situation. The Bible says, flee the devil, resist him, and he will run from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You know what? If there's something in your life that you need to get rid of, you need to get rid of it. But you're not going to do it alone. You got to have the church. You got to have people help. And you say, "Well, I'm going to determine. I'm going to do it better." No, if you could have done it, you'd have done it on day one. You need to come to a place with Jesus Christ. And here's where the rubber meets the road. His name is J.R.R. Tolkien, and he wrote a little book, a little trilogy called Lord of the Rings. And in it, the hero is a little hobbit by the name Frodo Baggins. Frodo is just a little guy. And the whole story is about one thing. Frodo gets a ring. And that ring, he has a choice. If he takes the ring, his life is going to be ripped apart. It has a lot of power. It's shiny. My precious. He's got that choice. Or he could take that ring and take it back to where it was forged into the fire and destroy it so that he can live in peace. Now he's got a choice to make. And he lives his life with this constant pressure. And you know what he does? His whole journey is about trials and testing. His whole journey is about temptations and trials. And you know what he does? He takes that ring and he destroys it in the fire where it came from. And I want you to know that there's something in our lives that calls your name. It's called my precious. It's called sin. And it calls your name. It knows you by name. And Satan uses that to draw you into sin and to get you out from God. And you want to hold on to that precious. And you won't. Folks, you got to take it where it came from and put it into the fire of the Holy Ghost. You have got to let God consume that. You can't burn it up. You can't throw it away. You can't bury it. You can't do it in your own strength. Only Jesus can through the Holy Spirit. And you've got to bring that sin and that original sin and you've got to take it to the fire by which it came. Because the first man, Adam, sinned. The second man, Adam, Jesus, came and destroyed that work. I don't know where you live in your life. I'll just let a confession fly right now. I was up all night thinking about this thing. God, this struggle, when does it end? And He said very clearly, it ends when you get to the other side. But hang in there, faithful servant. Hang in there so you can hear, well done. Folks, when we say, Jesus, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. That word deliver is the Greek word to snatch us. It's literally translated to snatch you from evil. May God snatch you from the evil or the temptation, and you live with God. May you walk in righteousness. Feed it. It will grow. I'm going to ask if you would stand with me. I need a microphone here, John, if you can make this. There we go. That's on. Jody, come on up here. Jody's come up. They're moved. Her husband's already down in Virginia. Her and her family are moving away this weekend. They've been a part of our church. And God laid something on her heart to sing. I'm going to let it be our benediction. When you think about what Christ wants to do in your life and temptation, just remember this. Be faithful. Hang in there. So I'd like you just to bow your heads as she sings these words. Let's pray. Let's just kind of hear these words and meditate as our benediction.
On my honor I will try. There's a duty to be done. And I say I, there's a reason here for the reason above. My honor is to try. My duty is to love. You don't need to know my name. If I've hurt someone, then I'm to blame. If I've helped someone, then they've helped me. And that's the way that it should be. On my honor I will try. There's a duty to be done. And I say I, there's a reason here for the reason above. My honor is to try, my duty is to love. I've tucked away a song or two, if you're feeling blue, there's one for you. If you need a friend, then I will come. There's plenty more where I come from. On my honor, I will try. There's a duty to be done, and I say I, there's a reason here for the reason above. My honor is to try, and my duty is to love.
Father, let that be our benediction as we go from this place with your grace and your mercy in our hand, releasing anything in our lives that is not honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen.